produced that movement. Oh, would Allah help us when we were Christians?
You bet he would.
Didn't he help the team until the olive came? And the olive until the Torah came? And the Torah until the Quran came? Yes, he helped the people of all those disciplines, until they finally came into the full reality he wanted them to come into. Now, look how Muhammad came to Arabs, right? Not to them per se, but to them because of circumstances and a necessity. All right? Because we know that as soon as he formed his leadership, he formed it so it would be representative of the different races. He picked from the Arab, he picked from the European, he picked from the Asian, and he picked from the African. And he put them all into his ambassadorial leadership. Is that right? So we know he didn't come to them, and the Quran says so clearly that I'm sent to the people, all of you, to the whole humanity, to the complete humanity. It's written there so plainly. So we know better than that. But look, he himself was an Arab. And he himself was born out of that community of Arabs and was a part, a community part, belonging to the Arab people. And they had experienced a history. So God blessed him with the insight to tie his people's life into the prophetic life, into the divine progression. So he revealed to Prophet Muhammad that you are the descendants of Ismail, whose father was Abraham, whose mother was Hagar. And these precincts, these precincts around here that have been profaned and now represent heathenism, have in their history connection with a reality, connection with a providence of the movement that God has been ushering forward. Now, do you think that I have this understanding? I'm going to overlook our connection to her with a movement to bring excellence to humanity? No, I see the divine hand in my life. I see the divine hand in the history of my people. I see my people, even under Christianity and under other religions, still moving forward toward the excellence that God intended for them. So you think I'm going to look back and say, no, no, God was protecting this. Wasn't God protecting the Kaaba when idols were in it? Huh? And who is the Kaaba? Isn't the Kaaba nothing but a type of the man himself? Huh? The Kaaba is nothing but a symbol of the human being himself. Now the temple was defiled, and the army came to do away with that defiled temple. And God stopped that great general Abrahat and kept his great herd of elephants back, turned them back without an army. Yes. Why? Because he had marked that spot for dignity. This is sacred ground. I have marked this spot for dignity. Go back. Your army ain't needed here. Can't go on. You can't go forward. Go back. So Hashem was sitting there. One old man without an army, without even two soldiers. Not even one soldier. He said, the Abrahat asked him, said, who's going to protect this town from me? He said, this is, I have no charge here. It is not mine. It belongs to Allah. It belongs to God. God will have to protect it.
What does that tell us? That our precious human excellence, the essence of the human being that God intended for excellence,
can never be protected by human forces. Allah will protect it. Always.
I don't go back to Sheikh Murabi Subani, or whoever he is, and say the Imam said that the Kaaba represents the human vessel of excellence. I know he's wrong, Sheikh. How can he do that and still call himself an Imam? The Prophet didn't say that.
Now, dear beloved people, here is something else in my room. The Kaaba wears a dress. All the way down to her ankles. So she's not a symbol of man in individuality, but a symbol of man collectively. Oh, yes. Every man finds identity in that symbol. Because they all came out of the same human womb. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So she wears a skirt. She's veiled from head to toe. The world hasn't been able to see up under her veil. But God is telling us, through the guidance of Prophet Muhammad, that there the secret stands. And it is revealed, though it is heavily dressed in cloth, covering it up from top to bottom. God has opened the way for the vision of Muslims to see inside the temple. Oh, yes. We know what it stands for. Ain't veiled no more. It's dressed now not to hide wisdom, but out of respect. Oh, yes. Veiled out of respect. Dear beloved people, in my conclusion, I want you to understand that this is the movement of our life up from ignorance and servitude. This is a movement that God is watching over. None of us can turn the hand of this movement back. Anyone coming up to do something inferior to what I'm representing now for you, they will eventually fail. Because the Almighty doesn't intend for us to stay back. He wants us to go forward. Yes. And he will make us go forward. Yes. In spite of opposition, we will go forward. Nothing is better for us than this religion of Al-Islam. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, even in the days of his time, when the true light wasn't here in its completion, for us all to see and understand. Even in his day of partial darkness, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, "The Bible is the graveyard of my people, and Islam is their salvation." Now tell me that God didn't give him vision, that God didn't give him an anticipation of what had to become? Certainly he did. Oh, that means he's a prophet. No, Allah revealed to the earth. Allah said in the Quran, and he revealed to the earth. And he revealed to the mother of Moses, he revealed to the mother of Jesus, he revealed to the earth. He revealed to everything. That's right. That doesn't mean he's a prophet. not a prophet. Maybe he doesn't even rate as a saint. Maybe he doesn't even rate as a good Muslim.
But God reveals to whomsoever he will to reveal what he wants to reveal.
And he has given to every person something of his rule. You say, oh, but that doesn't include the Christians. That doesn't include the Jews. It didn't say, and it doesn't include those who don't have faith. No, indeed. It left it there for us to accept that the idea that it includes every human being. Say, and he has given every person, every creature, something of his Ruach. What is Ruach? Ruach is inspiration from God. That's what Ruach is. Inspiration from God. So if I say I'm an inspired man, a lot of these latecomers trying to say he's a prophet. Not only am I an inspired man, most of my imams are inspired men. Hamidullah, he's an inspired man. Sheikh Shabazz, I've been knowing him since I was a small boy. He's an inspired man. Yes. My grandmother was an inspired woman. My mother was an inspired woman. My wife is an inspired woman. Yes. And many of you out there are inspired people. Yes. Doesn't mean that you hear funny noises. I'll get some weird messages from an unknown station. It doesn't mean that at all. It means that you have the human, spiritual sensitivity to anticipate the better move and be pretty accurate. That's all it means. Praise be to Allah. So Allah has blessed us with inspired leaders since we have been in the predicament we are in from the very start of our troubles and tribulations. He has blessed us with inspired people, and we shouldn't forget that. We should see the whole upward movement of our life as a people as a divine work that God has led it because he has. And we should never turn our face or our mind away from respect and faith in God. And Muslims, I'm sure you know, but let me remind you, if you've forgotten or if you don't know, let me tell you. Muslims are firstly people of faith. We believe in that is bigger and greater than us. We live in structures that have been erected for us in our religion. The structures that are called the five pillars of Islam that structure our community life. You know those five pillars. There's no need to be going through them. They are the declarations of faith in one creator and belief in his prophet, who is a universal prophet. That's number one. They are fasting, prayer, fasting, zakat, and hajj. Our prayer, after the declaration, prayer, charity, fasting, and hajj. So we know those things. And we know that within that structure, we have our whole life. We pray, we give for the love of Allah as a duty and also as a free gift for the growth and maintenance of our society. Is that right?
help promote the excellence of our society and to bring justice to all members. We also fast to commemorate the blessings of God and to practice self-restraint, because it is much needed for the well-being and safety of society. We also make Hajj to Mecca as a duty on us, on an obligation once in our life. And accepting this as a duty, though we never go there, we still perform it because of the intent to make it. We don't have to make it until the means are there. So if we should die before the means come, we still made it if the intent was right. Because the idea is in our heart, and every time our brother goes, we go in spirit with him. Is that not right? Yes. So we perform those things, and we know that those five fundamentals give the basic structure to our community life. And that's no hocus pocus. Standing up for La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, bring about visible changes in society. When we come together in salat and we pray as a unit behind one leader, a leader that we keep in check, that if he say this prayer wrong, we say, Allahu Akbar, and repeat it for him right now. Without going up saying, brother, you made a mistake, let me lead it. No, you made a mistake, keep leading, brother. You are the leader. Isn't that a beautiful religion? The man is addressing God, but me, as an individual, I have the right to correct him even when he's addressing God. If he say it wrong, I can say Allahu Akbar and say it right, or I can just say it right, and he's obligated to say it right behind. If he knows that I said it right, or if he doesn't know that I said it wrong, and he knows he's wrong, he's obligated to say what I said. That's right. See, some of you always say, if you make a mistake, then brother, you take his place. If you make a mistake talking to God, brother, you go up there and take his place. But that's not the way it was done. He makes a mistake, we correct him, he stays in his place. Which tells us that in this religion, no human leader is seen on a divine level. All of us can make mistakes. And we don't expect to have no angel or no divine leading us. We correct him and keep him because he's capable of making human mistakes. What a beautiful religion. The Pope make a mistake, that's finished. If nobody hears but the bishops, maybe he'll stay there. But if everybody hears, in fact, they won't even bring him back out. They'll say he had a heart attack. You'll have a new Pope. He can't make mistakes. This is the religion. Now, so we live within these structures, but, dear beloved people, what holds up all the other pillars? La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. But Muhammad said that if all the other pillars fall, one can hold up. One can hold up the roof. He said that one is La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Is that in accord with the Quran? Certainly. Whoever holds on to there is no God but one God will eventually be brought up, though he be in the depths of hell. Whoever holds on to that, he will eventually be saved, no matter what his circumstances are. But now, tell me, I know, making prayer together, that's a social performance as well as a spiritual performance. So men like to come together because they're gregarious by nature. And they are political by nature. They like to follow a leader. Men are like this. We are militants. We are soldiers by nature.
So, you know, what holds up the prayer?
Faith in Allah?
Yes. Faith in Allah holds up the proper prayer. But what holds up men just coming together to pray?
The social instinct in the male.
That's why it's not even an obligation on the female. She can come and join the prayer, but she's not obligated to it. She's only asked to come out on the Eid day.
So it's shameful on a woman if she doesn't come out on the Eid day and can do it.
But she doesn't have to come to Juma.
Have to do it. It's not an obligation.
That tells us that that's an exercise of the male dignity.
And the female comes out to support it.
Go on, son. I'm with you.
Yeah, that was the sisters do. They come out here and they see us in Juma and they say, go on, son. I'm with you.
They be talking to Allah in a different way than we talking to Allah. They talking to Allah in the
of a woman, of a mother, with tender social sentiments for society.
We pray into our lives soldiers. We are conscious of being soldiers. We stand shoulder to shoulder, and we go down like mechanical men. And come up like mechanical men.
In jihad. Yes. We have fallen Allah because we know that He is the one who has ordered us to do jihad. I'm not talking about holy war. I'm talking about struggle for excellence. Of which the highest sacrifice is the loss of my personal life in the battle for it. I think this is hurting you to keep talking to you, didn't it? After all, I haven't talked to you in a month. Now, let me go on, because I don't want to keep you.
So we live a structured life, and we do these things out of devotion to Allah in the spirit of fear, taqwa, devotion to Allah, but also we do it because it is a social necessity. That we give in charity, that we earn our living by honorable means, and that we give clean money for the progress of the society, and that we bear and suffer, remain patient and persevering, even in difficulty and want and misery and pain and loss of respect to myself as a male in my family. The society is looking at me with their nose turning up, but I still pray. I go in tattered clothes and I pray as a same soldier, no dignity lost. But what keeps that? I'm sure many of the people who long ago turned their back on the real meaning of salam are still making salam. So we will have people, men will come together, shoulder to shoulder, and they'll make salam. But in the final analysis, what holds up the proper salam? Faith in Allah. Not my interest in militancy, not my interest in social victory, but my interest in pleasing my Lord, who will see me tomorrow when the politics are over, when the economics are over, when the earth is over. He will see me. Say, those who anticipate the meeting with their Lord. Is that right? Those who believe in right, believe before it's verified. Ain't been proven to my intellect. Those who believe feel right. They believe before it is proven to their intellect. The intellect haven't seen it yet, but my heart saw it and accepted. Heidenreich, and also those who anticipate meeting their Lord. Is that right?
Yes, look in the verse, the chapter called the criteria of the Quran, and you will get this, and it's also in other chapters, where these are characteristics of the true believer. Those who have faith.
So actually, what holds us up?
Faith! And what did Allah say? Look at the sky. Look at the heavens. Look at those big balls up in the sky there. They hold their places, and you don't see no pillars holding them up.
them just as boldly when I was a baby in the crib. Because I wasn't coming from what I knew, I was coming from